We've got to get out of the confines of this stinking matrix. It's undermining and short-circuiting everything God desires to do. Matthew 14. This is a good depiction of the matrix. Matthew 14, beginning to read at, let's see here. Let's start at verse 22. Matthew 14, we'll start at verse 22. All right, he says here. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Amazing how much time Jesus spent in the mountains praying. He kept his mind clear, unfocused from this world. He would not allow himself to be distracted by the cares of this life. He stayed in steady communion with God all the time, and he brought messages into this world without being bound by it. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Okay, let's logically look at this. I'm in the boat. Jesus walking toward me. They say it's a spirit. Well, I'm a spirit. Why am I afraid of myself? Do you know you're really afraid of what you really are? And you just don't know it. This body is not you. This body houses you, and you're a spirit. So they're looking at a spirit, and they're afraid of a spirit, and they are spirits. That's why the mind has to be separated from the matrix. It's defining us on a physical plane. We're always appending ourselves and our actual designation as a being to the physical. That's a distraction away from what we really are. So they were afraid, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, okay, picture us in the boat. We're in the middle of a lake, crossing over. There's a guy standing over there in the water, standing on top of the water, telling us everything's cool, don't be afraid. Now, we're in a boat. We're looking at this guy. He's right over there. We're out in the middle of this water, Lake Altoona, Lake Lanier. He's standing out there on top of the water talking to me, long range. I'm in the boat. Now I'm processing all this. I'm looking at this. Everybody's looking at this in amazement. And Peter answered him and said to him, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water." And he said, "Come." That means I'm in the boat now. I'm in the boat. It's me. You told me if it's me to tell you to come. All right. Based on what you said, I'm the Lord. You asked me if it be you, Lord. If it's really you, tell me to come to you. So Jesus said, "Okay, come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now let's read right there. I'm out of the ship. I take a step. I'm walking. Now the rest of the disciples are watching me walk. I'm in the boat. I'm watching him. Okay, he's walking toward him. He's not sinking. Now everybody knows that water does not have the characteristics of that which is able to support a man. Peter is probably over 200 pounds as a fisherman. Water is not able to hold up a 200-pound fisherman. It can't. It can't hold up Jesus. So they could not have possibly been walking on the water. So what were they walking on? See, Jesus, by nature, is not subject to physical laws. I am not from this world. But if I, as a human being, place belief in that person that's not from here, I too will usurp physical laws and I become metaphysical. I become supernatural. I become paranormal. All the words the world used to talk about scary stuff. See how everyone those words I just used, they have shows called Paranormal Experiences. And they have all people screaming at night with all kind of ghosts and stuff in the room. It's all designed to make you afraid of it. Supernatural, metaphysical, paranormal, beyond the normal, above the physical, above the natural. As long as he focused on Jesus and the command, he didn't walk on water. He walked on the authority of Jesus' spoken word. Now look at this. But when he, what? Saw the wind. Now you might feel the wind, but ain't nobody ever saw the wind. You've seen the effects of the wind. He didn't see the wind. He saw the effects of the wind. Boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Now, what's the cause and effect in that one sentence?
He was afraid.
Huh?
He was afraid.
Which made him?
Sink.
Sink. The cause and effect is the fear and sinking. The effects of the wind made him afraid. When he became afraid, he began to sink. Letting you know that your fear is indicative of something. What does fear indicate? You don't believe. You don't believe. The only person that's afraid is a person that does not believe. Now, why don't you believe? Huh? You believe in something else. There is no such thing as an unbeliever on this planet. You don't believe in Jesus because you believe in something else. He believed in the wind and the effects of it, and it made him afraid, so he took his eyes off of Jesus because he was believing the world was stronger than Jesus. This is not a bunch of metaphysical gobbledygook. You got to be so focused on Jesus that you only believe in Jesus. That's why Isaiah 53 says what? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the strength or the arm of the Lord revealed? You have to believe in Jesus alone. But guess what? Here's the catch in it. You can't. Nobody can. Nobody can believe in Jesus alone. God, there's too many inputs coming to your senses. It's impossible to do it. So, okay, I can't believe. I know what I'll do. I'll kill the joker that can't believe. If I got something in me that won't believe, I'll mortify that thing so that the only thing left is that person that can believe. The carnal, Adamic, fleshly, natural man, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is not able to understand the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. Romans chapter 8 tells you what? The carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I have to eradicate the thing in me that can't believe. Stop putting forth effort to believe. Get rid of the things that won't. That's why you fast. That's why you pray and read your Bible. I'm eradicating the enemy of all righteousness. I'm eradicating the Philistines and the Jebusites and the Girgashites and the Canaanites. The demons only cohabitate with Adam. I kill Adam, and all the leeches attached to Adam have to go because they got no life to inspire. They can only inspire a nature. If I kill and mortify the nature, there's no way for the demons to inspire the nature. The man was walking on water. He usurped physical properties. He became metaphysical. It happened. It's a historical fact. It's in your Bible. And everybody knows how nutty Peter was. If Peter can do this, anybody can do it. But 11 guys sat there and watched it and didn't do it. They didn't even get out of the boat. Why? Because I got faith in this boat. I know this boat is holding me up. It's solid. My butt is on this bench and it's made of wood. And ain't no holes in this boat. And I ain't sinking in this boat. But out there on that water, I'm not going out there, because you saw what happened to him. You saw him start sinking in. I knew he was going to sink. I knew before he got out this boat. I knew it all along. That fool stepped out there on that water and almost drowned, fooling around with the Lord. Fooling around with the Lord. And the, come thou faithful servant. And the Lord almost drowned Peter with that crazy fool mess they were doing. I knew it all along. You can't put no faith in the Lord. You crazy? The word, you can't put no faith in the word. That word will let you down every time. Every time you step out on that word, you're going to see. I told you, Thomas, I knew I was doubting all along. Thomas, I knew I was doubting. I was showing up doubting. I knew it. I sure knew it. Look at it. Look at it robe all wet and everything. Look at it. I knew it. Then Peter get back, but why you go? I told you not to go. You're crazy. You trying to trust in the Lord's word? Outside the boat? Outside the matrix? Can't you see the devil feeding us, clothing us? The devil gave us a good job. The devil gave you benefits. I got benefits too. I got some benefits. We got an insurance plan, 401k, retirement, Social Security. Don't you know Social Security is a scam? They know you're going to be dead before you collect it. If Social Security was real, they'd give the money to the kids.
That's right.
Or your father and mother have contributed all this money to Social Security their whole life. Their lifetime, they put in $30,000, $40,000. Here it is to the family, the money that they saved. That money just dissipates into nothingness. If you put it into the plan, what happened to it? Give it to the offspring then. Oh, no, we don't do that. We don't. This is a Ponzi scheme, and you got faith in it, they're taking you to the hoop. Companies everywhere are getting rid of their health plans under Obamacare. We're not, the retirement health plans, we're not covering the retirees anymore. Why? You can go to the government now and sign up for it and pay them. It's transference of wealth and power. That's all it is, man. This is a scheme, the biggest scheme ever in the history of the world. And people sit here in the matrix, believing in political speeches given and putting faith in men. And men are fallible, fake, phony, and fooling you. So you see now, see how the matrix works? Solid foundation. I'm sitting on a wooden bench in a boat. Jesus out there usurping all physical properties. Metaphysical man walking up to the boat on the water. I'm thinking he's the spook, he's so scary, and telling this one man to come. He is walking on the water. And then the Bible says Jesus, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, meaning he had to be where? Within an arm's length. Can't you see how the devil hit you? You are right there. I was right back. Man, I was so close to Jesus, I could have reached out. I could have grabbed it myself. I was right there making it side by side. I mean, I could have drawn the master's arm, me and him walked back to the boat together. Looking at the other disciple. Saw that. You saw what just happened to you. Me and the master was walking on the water. The rest of y'all wasn't doing it, was you? I don't know what to say about the rest of y'all, but me and the master, we might take a stroll tonight on Lake Allatoona. We don't know. Master, you want to take a walk across the Atlantic over to America? Me and the master. Yeah, and the rest of y'all know, but me and the master, we was out there walking on the water. And the master and me and the master and I, we was out there together, me and the master together, and y'all was in this boat. I guess y'all was kind of scared, wasn't y'all? But no. He had to get pulled out of the water. Look at Jesus' response. Stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore or why did you doubt? Look, you didn't see that wind. You didn't see them waves. You didn't see the ocean and everything roaring. Why did I doubt? You didn't see what was going on, Lord? Look how God's oblivious to circumstances. He don't even address circumstances. They're like, they don't even exist. And asking somebody, why did you doubt? And you give them every reason why you ought to doubt. But God knows this. The new man won't doubt. Your flesh will doubt. I'm talking to the new man. I'm talking to the spirit man. You can't doubt because you're a new creation in Christ. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Letting you know who called the wind.
The devil.
He's got some atmospheric control down here. He can make stuff happen. If that wasn't the case, why would Jesus have to say in another instance, peace be still? Why'd he have to tell the wind and everything to cease? If it's the will of God for it to be going on. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They didn't say nothing to Peter. But thou, Jesus, you're the Son of God. Because see, you grabbed him and carried him back to the boat. He was just a clown sinking. So you see now, you can get out of the boat. But the key is, what do you do when you're out of the boat? How do you live in the matrix? Here's what makes most Christian folk turn back. They know that if I go and do this, I got to live like this from now on. I've got to live a narrow life that's not going to append to my pleasure and my comfort and me being entertained. I have to obey God every day, do what he says, go to a mountainous place to pray, and be about my Father's business. But I want to have some what? Fun. I'm in the devil's matrix, which is basically what? An amusement park. It's an entertainment complex. Amuse comes from the word for muse, which is a woman, a Greek goddess, a little nymph, that entertains through the use of music. A muse plays music. We like to dance and sing. Smoke, coke, and joke. Hang around and have a good time and laugh at jokes. It's what the devil's banking on. That a human will not ever discipline themselves to do what's necessary because they want to be amused. Everything that has any benefit for you is a challenge to you. I sure want to lose this weight. So as soon as I finish off these dozen donuts, these two Coca-Colas, and this apple pie, I'm going to go and do some sit-ups. Man, listen. Listen. It's a lifestyle that's necessary. I got to live a lifestyle. My lifestyle has to change dramatically for me to get results. For me to move on in God, my conversation must be in heaven, not on earth. I got to have a lifestyle change. I won't become weird, strange. I won't become extreme. I'll be living a life from heaven on earth. Matriculating through earth, nobody can tell anything about me is different other than God and me and my lifestyle changing with him and before him. If you want results for you, you do what is necessary for you. I'm not going to lose 30 pounds if you're running. See, your mind will adjust to anything you tell it if you just make it, accept it. You're going to accept the fact that you're going to do this, and I'm telling you, you're going to do it. You can make your soul conform to what you tell it. That's why it says for you to present your body. You do it. God, take me over. No, present your body. He's not going to take anybody over. You got to present your body. That's why I hate Calvinism. Because it always disregards free will. If you disregard free will, you can forget the whole gospel. You got to respond to this gospel. You got to cooperate with God to be saved. That's the way it is. I did it all for you. Now you have to come and willfully choose to accept it and walk in it. They make it seem like God is in control of everything. He's like a puppeteer, going to make you get saved, going to make you stay saved, going to make you go to heaven, going to make you put on a white robe, and going to make you wear a crown. You're going to be as lost as a ball in high weeds. You got to willfully choose to do this because you willfully chose to do everything you did wrong. Now willfully choose to do everything you're going to do right. He'll empower the choice. So you see now, there's a life outside the matrix that is metaphysical. Now the devil has spent billions of dollars in movies, scary theme parks, ghost stories, spooky books. He's done everything he can to scare us away from metaphysical things. That's where he's put all his energy. If you study the world, every Halloween, he comes up with all this scary stuff. You know, Halloween, it's Halloween 2. If it ain't Halloween 2, it's Halloween 3. If it's not Halloween, then it's Dracula, or it's the Predator, or it's the Alien, or it's you name it. You name a scary movie, the devil's in it. Friday the 13th, 1, 2, 3. I mean, it's Friday the 13th every 2 weeks, you know. I mean, all this stuff. You got all these different Jonathan and Mike and all these different names, these scary folk, you know. All this stuff going on to scare you away from the supernatural. When you can't beat the devil unless we go supernatural. You've got to get outside the matrix to have dominion over the matrix. Jesus wasn't subject to the matrix, so therefore he had dominion over the physical laws of the matrix. Jesus said, listen, you should say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it should obey you. He wasn't kidding around. And why would Jesus say something that stupid if it wasn't true? What's he saying? In a metaphysical world where you've come out of the matrix, where you're not bound anymore to the devil's kingdom, you can have authority over this physical world, and it will obey you. If you speak ex cathedra from a place of enthronement, the mind of Christ functioning through you and speaking rhema words through you, the atmosphere will conform to you. You got a bunch of religious church folk trying to speak life to stuff. Like the boo preacher said, we should not confront Jay-Z or Kanye West or Kelly Rowland or Beyonce. We should just speak life over them. We should pray over them, speaking life to them, blessings upon them. This is the way the church operates, speaking blessings over people, and that will take hold of them and it will come to pass. Because you're now nothing more than a prognosticator, you're a magician, you're a sorcerer with your own carnal mind trying to speak stuff into existence, and you're a nutcase. But the truth of the matter is, proclamations made ex cathedra from the throne of God coming through your mouth are reinforced sent forth by the Spirit, because it's not you that speaketh, the Bible says, but your Father which speaks through you at the appointed time. So therefore, when you lie to Peter, as Ananias and Sapphira did, you drop dead because you haven't lied to a man, you lied to the Holy Ghost. But you got to be out of the matrix. You can't be bound to the world and having the authority of God flowing through you into the world. That's the key. What's holding people captive to this world? What's binding them to the world? You can see it if you understand the one name for Satan that I didn't mention when I gave you the first discourse about Satan's names. If you understand this last name of Satan, you'll understand why people are bound to the world. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Satan, his last universal name is the king of Sodom. What won't come to God? Sodomites. Sodomites don't come to God. Sodomites don't leave the matrix. Sodomites are the anchor for the matrix to hold together. What was the devil's masterstroke of genius? His masterstroke of genius was to get people universally to engage in sodomite activity. At that point, the devil became the king of your world. He's the king of Sodom. He's the God over all practicing sodomites. The only thing that won't come to God and repent is a sodomite spirit. So people will sit there performing oral sodomy on their husbands and wives. They will sit there sodomizing their wife in a marriage bed and say it's undefiled. They'll preach in pulpits, engaging in oral sex, sodomites proclaiming the gospel. The friction you feel and the reverberation you feel in the spirit world when you preach against that stuff is the sodomites sitting up in church in collusion together to try to keep the church capped off from leaving the matrix. He goes down to Dallas and takes a contingent of sodomites, a drag queen talking in tongues. The sodomites have sealed up the king of Sodom's kingdom, and it's in the church. The false church, the harlot church, is a church that has been sired by the queen of heaven, shown in Revelation 17, the mother of harlots and abominations, which are sodomites. You better be very careful within the confines of Christianity and churchianity that you are not yoked to a sodomite. That you don't have an allegiance with some woman, if you're a woman, that's making you responsible for that woman. That's making you talk to her and have to be guided by her and take care of her problems. You are still a sodomite. You're bound to a Sodomite queen because you have the spirit of a Sodomite queen. False burdens, false responsibilities dictate from that spirit. And here you are taking up their responsibilities because they know that they got a link to you because you're the same thing as me. Especially when you come out of Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is the bastion of sodomy, lesbianism, and homosexuality. Do you think it's wrong with those nuns? The priests sodomizing young altar boys. You come out of that institution, you'll be marked by the devil as one of us. If you don't lose that spirit totally, other folks that got that spirit will know you instinctively and enlist you to do their dastardly deeds for them, and you'll feel like, this is my sister in the Lord. You're in the Lord, all right. His name is Baal. You can be tricked right in the midst of the congregation and the gathering of the Most High. Because you still got that spirit, and you will magnetically be drawn to folks that got that spirit, and you'll be caught up in their stupid mess because you're bound to that spirit. Raised in hell as Jezebel. Raised under the tutelage of a dominatrix that's calling herself your mother. Raining down havoc in hell in your home your whole life, and you're following faithfully in her footsteps. Especially if you came out of a lineage of those things. Yes. That's right. Dykes know how to pimp sodomite women. When you got the feminine outer character of a sodomite woman, the big rusty dyke woman gonna pimp you and use you to do their bidding. Have you bringing them stuff, cooking for their home, cleaning their house, doing all this stuff, and calling yourself their armor bearer. The only person that had an armor bearer was Goliath. You can sit right in church, play in church with a pack of sodomites, blind as a bat, totally unrevelated by God's spirit, thinking you're free, and circling in the matrix, the wilderness of your own mind, with the same spirit take you around in a circle, and you're trying to figure out, why can't I break out of this thing? Hanging with your dogs, the fellas, you're just a sodomite. I'm trying to tell all these young girls, you dating these old punky sissy guys, they don't even like women. They don't like women. They use women like a toilet. They don't even like you. They have no affinity toward you. They like to hang with the fellas and talk about you and what they did to you, to the other sodomites. I had her on all fours like a dog, man, and she was doing this and doing that, and she was having oral sex with me, and I turned the inside out, man, and she was trying to beg me to stay. I told her, girl, I got to go. Because I knew we were going out to the club tonight. I wasn't going to hang around that old hoe all night. And you out there with your heart in your hand, not understanding that these guys don't even like women. And you finally end up with some old tough, rough, dyke, butch, lesbian woman taking you in and calling you and culling you and curly-cueing you. And now you're curled up under a lesbian talking about you found true love. After the man has cut your heart out of your chest because you dealt with effeminate men who don't like women. They don't even like women. They like themselves. Muscle-bound, thuggish sodomites. And a whore is fine-tuned to accept that as the status quo and the way it is. I grovel at the feet of a stinking sodomite man, and they are the guardians of the matrix. Sodomite men, homosexuals, lesbians, perverted oral sex practitioners, perverted men that want to sodomize you as a woman, and you letting them because I don't want to lose him. Billy got an appetite for this, and I got to please him because I don't want him to leave me. I do anything to keep Billy, anything he want to do, you know. I just got to do anything to please. You pleasing the sodomite. He don't even like you. If he sodomizes you, he's a down low brother. And after a while, he's going to transfer all of that to a man. And that's what he really wants. And so you can't please him totally because you don't have a penis. I don't just want to sodomize you. I want to be sodomized, and baby, you can't fit the bill. It ain't pretty. It ain't nice. It ain't cute. It's the guardians of the matrix. Every song they sing. Can't you see the devil lifts up the sodomites to be the entertainers for people to emulate them? He's doing that on purpose. That's why Miley Cyrus got her behind backed up into that Robin Thicke guy's groin. Bent over in front of him like a dog. Sodomites. He's the king of Sodom. That's the final anchor to the matrix. You can be in church in a tribe of sodomites, call them your brother and sister in the Lord. And the only thing you got in common is both of you are still sodomites. And the devil's going to be deceiving you, leading you, fellowshipping with you, talking about the Lord with you. Let's get together. Wife swappers in the church. Couples to hang out together, but really the two sodomites want to see each other and the two women lesbians want to see each other. Y'all just wives. Y'all swingers. Church swingers. Y'all are swingers in the church. In the temple of the Most High, y'all swinging. Fellowshipping. Brother Gary, this is kind of nasty. Yes, sure is. It's a nasty deal. It's the way it is. How do you get out? What anchors you to the matrix? Your belief in it. How do I get out? I believe out. You got to believe out of the matrix. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. The only thing that anchors somebody in this matrix, you tell them the point blank, butt naked gospel, and they can't see it and stay bound to the world, sodomites. I don't have to be there. I can tell you, they are sodomites. That's the only thing. That's the your kind that shall not enter into my presence again that God said about Adam and Eve. You now are turned upside down, inside out. The devil has changed the whole system. He swapped positions. Now Eve is the man and Adam is the woman. Now you've seen an upside down, inverted world take place. You got to be converted to come back in here, buddy. After you're converted, then go heal your brethren. You got to be changed from the inside out back into a man and a woman again to be saved. That's the problem with people. Your soul is upside down. Matthew 9:27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So you see, according to what you believe, be it done unto you. And all you have to do is eradicate the old nature that can't believe. Stop focusing in on trying to do for God and trying to accomplish this for God and trying to be a witness for the Lord and consciously conquer the old man that can't do anything for God, that can't believe God. He's a carnal creation. If you don't come out of the matrix, you'll carnally compensate for the fact that the old man is still alive and do stuff, trying to please God when you can't. Because your nature is against God. By nature, he says, you're a child of God's wrath. Exterminate the old man. That's your way out. That's the way of escape. James 3:13. I'll move quickly here. James 3:13. I tried to cover a lot here, but this is important. James 3:13. One book after Hebrews, I believe, is James. James 3, verse 13, he says this. Who is a wise man and endued with with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish or demonic. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, fully full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you see now, wisdom from above is peaceful. It's not earthly, it's not sensual, it's not demonic. You got to get your mind reformatted to believe by receiving wisdom from above. The engrafted word is transforming your mind, taking you from AM to FM so that you can believe this thing. The more you believe, faith increases geometrically, because as you believe, more belief is added to you. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. You begin to believe what you couldn't believe before. It becomes supernatural. You can believe anything as long as you don't let the world distract you. As long as the wind billowing does not distract you. You stay in the realm of belief. How do you know you're in belief? Because you got peace. The wisdom from above brings peace. When you believe in God, you got peace. You know circumstances change. I got no money. Well, that's today. Tomorrow you might have a lot. I got a lot of money. That might change. Tomorrow you might have none. But I'm not subject to what? The dictates of the matrix. The matrix is an ebbing and flowing, ever-changing environment. I'm not bound to it, so I'm not blown about by every wind of doctrine that blows through. I'm anchored in the Lord. I believe God. You got to be anchored in this thing. If not, things will blow through and change you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Speeding up. Trying to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There are some things that God's trying to freely give to us, but we got to beware. In the spirit, free from the spirit of the world. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the soulish man, the carnal man, the Adamic man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You got to have a reformatting of your mind by letting the wisdom of the world, what you've been taught, let it go. Let that man that is engaged in that wisdom die, so you can become a new creation in Christ. Believe God and walk above this matrix. It's life that exists outside of the matrix. The matrix is trying to short circuit a metaphysical supernatural life. You can walk in the world and be above the world, and here's the key. Will you walk around looking spooky and like a ghost and mystical and magical, where nothing in the world matters to me? I'm out of the matrix. I'm delivered. So I don't even see the world. I don't know anything. I'm just gone. No. You go to the doctor, but I don't believe in the doctor. I don't have faith in the doctor. I have faith in God. I go to work, but the job is not my source. God is my source. You can walk in this and do everything everybody else does. What's the difference? I don't put my trust, my faith, and my life on this. I matriculate through the matrix in the world, but not of it. That's the difference. You never let your mind believe that a man or a woman or any organization on this earth has any substance or foundation to it that is permanent, that is going to anchor your soul. I believe in God. Everywhere I go, I believe in God. I believe that God will get me a parking space close to the store. I believe God everywhere I go. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. You walk around not aloof, not crazy, not weird. You're in the world, but not of it. You walk above it while being in it because you don't believe in it. You don't believe the report from the White House. You don't believe Fox News and Sean Hannity. You don't believe in anything down here. The Pope can talk all day. My faith is not in the Pope. The Word of God will translate you out of here, and you believe the Word of God over everything, and you make your preparations based on what the Word of God says and reveals to you. Another character in the Bible that gives you indication about the matrix and how it works, and I won't go there because we don't have the time, is found in Matthew 19. Study this on your own. Matthew 19, 16 through 30, the story of the rich young ruler. Remember, he came to Jesus saying, Master, I want to serve you. Master, I'll do anything for you. Master, I'm all in. Jesus said, I tell you what you do, sell everything you have and follow me. He went away sad, the Bible says, because he had many possessions. He didn't have possessions. Possessions had him. That's the difference. God really doesn't care. I really believe this. I don't believe that God would care if you had $10 billion, as long as the $10 billion didn't have you. Think about this. All you got is a stack of toilet paper with ink on it with $10 billion. Why would God care? Why would God care if I had 10 rolls of Charmin under my arms or $10 billion? Think about what I'm saying. It's paper. I got a newspaper and I got $10 billion. It's paper. So God, no, I don't want you to have the paper money, but you would have a bunch of newspapers. That's the thus saith the Lord. That's crazy. It can't be the money has value because it has no intrinsic value. It's just paper. You can burn money. We can set a bonfire right here and throw out all the money we got into it and burn up. You can't leave here and go to heaven and buy $5 worth of anything. You go to heaven with $5, I'm like, hey, look, Peter, look here, I'll buy that hat you got on for $5, man. He's gonna look at you like, what? This is not a hat, first of all, this is a crown. A crown I'm wearing here, fella. What are you gonna do with money in heaven? So it must be part of what? The matrix. Money is part of the matrix. The boy wouldn't lose the money and follow Jesus. Why? He was bound to the money in the matrix. So therefore, everything we do has to be contingent upon the fact that we're free from the matrix. Then God can do what? Trust you. Because he knows it doesn't control you. The rich young ruler didn't possess the money. The money possessed him. And Jesus turns around and says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. All because the money's got them. The money defines them. The money makes them somebody in the matrix. So you strut around the matrix with a lot of money, guess what you get? Worship. You get the accolades of the people that worship the money. You can look like 5 miles of bad road. Look at all these rappers looking like somebody crazy, looking like somebody that came from a circus or something. Tattooed from head to toe, gold grill slammed in their mouth, dreadlocks down their back, looking like the creature from the Black Lagoon or the White Lagoon or the Hispanic Lagoon, whatever lagoon they came from. And they got women stacked to the ceiling. It's all these beautiful girls want this joker. It defies logic. They don't want him. They want the money. See, when you pick me up in a 1973 Mustang with a Maypop tire on the back. When he picked me up in a brand new Lamborghini. Took me to the presidential suite downtown at the Hyatt Regency. We had the most expensive stuff you can imagine. Then we got on this private jet and they flew me down to the Bahamas for 3 days just to lay on the beach and relax with the crew. Then we went out to Hollywood and stayed in his mansion for a week and a half. And he flew me back to town first class by Delta. And I had a limousine pick me up at the airport that brought me back home. You pull up in a 1972 Mustang with Maypop tires. You're a handsome guy, you're well dressed, you're a nice guy. This guy looks like 5 miles of bad road, stank, crazy, drunk, doped up, drinking syrup all day, but he got the money. So the money is the man, not you. So later, that's what we got. It's a love of money that makes people do things they would have normally had been distasteful to them. But I'll do it for the money. And these young girls are getting turned inside out by these rappers. It take my brother-in-law to tell it. Security down at these rap concerts, 14, 15-year-old girls, them guys get them in those RVs behind stage, turn them girls inside out, running through the whole crew. Make the girl lay up with 8, 9, 10, 15 guys, and the girl come out happy and bragging about it. Man, I took on the whole Cash Money crew, girl. All of them had me. I was in there, boy, I was taking on 3 of them at a time. Man, they were turning me in. I'm on the Cash Money crew's hole. Woo, girl, I know you don't. Ooh, I know you jealous of me. They like that. They glory in this stuff. Girls in the 10th grade with career plans of becoming a stripper. Cause Rihanna told me to throw it up and watch it rain down. Money on my mind. Money on my mind. Binding them to the matrix. Making them into sodomites. Why you think they got the booty humping, booty pumping girls on all the videos with the thongs on? That's giving the girls identity. All they tell their friends, watch that new Wayne, Lil Wayne video. The one that got Rick Ross and 2 Chainz on it. See that girl, the third one from the right? That's me, girl. That's me. Oh, the girl in the thong that's down hunching on the floor like a dog and twerk dancing, that's you? Yeah, that's me. I made a video. See how the devil got to always drive you into depravity. Always got to humiliate you. Always got to take you and drag you through the mud to exalt you. Make you into trash, then tell you you're somebody. That's the devil at his best. He must make you into a sodomite to rule over you. And the sodomite spirit is the ruling entity in the matrix. Satan's greatest fear is life outside the matrix. Why? Because you'll go metaphysical, you'll go supersonic. Everything is about experiencing what the Bible calls in Hebrews 6:4. The powers of the world to come. How do you get that? Revealed in Revelations chapters 2 and 3. 7 times to 7 churches, Jesus made promises saying, to him that overcometh. What must you overcome? The old Adamic sodomite nature. You break that chain to that spiritual force. Separate from it. Kill that entity in you that's bound to it and bound by it. Let yourself resurrect out of it. And the Holy Ghost fills the new man. That will translate you out of the matrix. Inside of you, you'll be translated. Your mind will lift. Your inner man will lift. None of these things will move you. These things will grow strangely dim. What's going to happen? Systematically, the spiritual world will open up to you. That's why God is coming back, according to the prophet Joel at the end, with dreams and visions. In the latter days, he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. People will be dreaming dreams and having visions. We're going to see what Ezekiel went through and what Paul went through, caught up to the third heaven. We've got to go supersonic on the devil. We've got to go metaphysical and supernatural now. We have no choice. The enemy of all righteousness is in me. It's the sodomite spirit. We look for cures and we look for healing. We look for power to heal and the gifts of the Spirit. We shouldn't be walking around sick and diseased and infirmed. But somebody got to get outside the matrix. You can speak to any sickness. Jesus healed every sickness and cast out every devil he confronted because he was totally outside of the confines of the devil's dictates. All this stuff inside of this world and in the matrix is subject to those who breach the matrix only through Christ. I'll end it with this one thing that you must know. The cross is a spiritual portal. The cross is not just him hanging on it, dying for you. The cross opened up a gateway. At the foot of every spiritual portal, there must be laying some type of a blood sacrifice. Even witches and warlocks know you must sacrifice to the devil to establish a portal for his spirit to come across. The cross was a portal. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me, Jesus speaking. If I be lifted up from the earth, referring to his crucifixion, the Bible says, I will draw all men unto me. He takes it up again in Philippians. It says, I'm telling you, even weeping, that these false preachers are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly and they mind earthly things. Colossians chapter 2 tells you, set your affections on things above. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Our life is hid with Christ, with God in Christ. That's our life. When he shall appear, we'll see him as he is. What are we dealing with? The cross as a portal, a gateway into the spirit world. As you walk through that cross, like Abraham walked through that butchered animal with God, now God infuses into you. He transfuses you. He instills in you the nature of Jesus Christ as you go through the cross with him. As you're killing Adam, God has given you a spiritual transfusion of a new bloodline, a new genetic makeup that can believe him. Go through the death process. Let everything die off and see if not out of the loins of that dead man a new you resurrects. That has dominion over here, that speaks to things, ex cathedra, standing from a place of enthronement with Christ, and things begin to shake and happen. The devil's greatest fear is a person that has come out of the matrix. What I'm saying here today is not even germane to church and religious activity. What I'm saying right now, if you're a nominal church person, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm a kook, I'm a wacko, I must be practicing some kind of sorcery. That sounds like some kind of witchcraft or spellcasting he's talking about. The Lord just wants us to read our Bibles and he wants us to pray and love one another. That's the gospel. All that spiritual sounding stuff he's talking about, that don't sound right. I get a bad feeling in my spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is checking me. As he's talking, the Holy Spirit is checking me. Now that's the devil checking you because you're scared. The Holy Spirit's showing me, no, I just gave you all the instances in the Bible where you breach the metaphysical world and supernatural things happen. How are you sitting here now, 2,000 years removed from Peter walking on the water and can't even walk down the street good? That ain't right. When greater works we shall do because I go to my Father. How you doing greater work sitting around somewhere loving everybody and just blabbering around the word of God all the time? We got to get out of here. Somebody's got to pay the appropriate price. Jesus said, before you begin to build this house, count the cost. See if you got sufficient to finish this thing. All of us have sat here within the confines of religion all these years. Nothing. Sickness, disease, infirmity. Children have crazy, the world looking like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to just sit here like the four leprous men. The four leprous men finally said, you know what? Why sit here and die? Let's go over there. Where'd they go to? The enemy's camp. I'm going over with the devil, where the devil is. Let me go over to the devil and take some of the devil stuff back. And the devil's in the spirit world. Let me go over there and slap the devil around, take back my stuff, and get on with living and orchestrating a warfare against this idiot. Life outside the matrix is the life of a conqueror. The life of somebody that has dominion over the flesh. That has set their mind like a flint to go through what is necessary to mortify the Adamic nature. If you're hanging on to something, I'll tell you what you check first. Check the folk you deal with. Check the sodomite spirit out to see if that ain't the sodomite spirit that wrapped his arm around your head. And you sitting up next to the sodomite thing that's your sister or brother in the Lord. They got you still in the matrix. And God is telling you the nature in you still appends itself to people like you because you ain't got it out of you yet. Expunge yourself. Get rid of a false responsibility and a false feeling about folk so you can be totally free to serve the true and living God. That Jezebel spirit is slick. It knows how to look churchy and humble and sweet and docile and just a sister in the Lord. A sister in the Lord. Hey, sister. Hey, sister. Hey, sister. Giggling and be nothing but the devil. Wake up out of that coma. The coffee is showing up brewing. You best be starting to smell it. Like the old saying said, wake up and smell the coffee. The matrix, all encompassing. God of this world rules it. We got to live outside of it to be free. The matrix is a trick game. It'll pimp you. It'll use you. All contingent upon what's inside of you. Kill that thing. If you came out of Roman Catholicism like I did, man, you better kill every vestige of the sodomite spirit in your soul. Because just when you think you're not, you'll find out I am bound to the matrix. It's time to get out. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, we commit this time to you, God. Crucify this flesh, raise us up out of it that we can live and not die. Too many things are going on that are not right. We shouldn't be like this. It's time to break free of the dictates of what I call the devil's matrix. A convoluted, perverted, warped world ruled by a sodomite king who has defined and confined the human race based on what's in us. He's got to find some linkage. He's got to find some vestige of himself in us, or else he has lost control of us. God, sever the ties with everything on the horizontal that's not like you, so we can get out of here and lift above this false senses that dictate to us what righteousness is. Oh, I'm supposed to do this if I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to care for my brother and sister in the Lord. Man, you're going to get pimped. God, break that tie. Break us loose. Free us. Cut the ground wires. Let us out of here to move into heavenly places, higher ground, to serve the true and living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Going to wrap it up for this week. We appreciate you listening and always solicit your active participation in the ministry financially. All contributions can be made at www.omegaministries.org or by mail, post office box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia 30296. What's hard about dealing with what we deal with is the fact that I know that a lot of minds are going to stall and not participate in this because it's going to mean the end of your life here. So there's a built-in resistance to moving something forward that's going to end me. Well, we got to look at this thing as far as getting out of here alive and well and making it to heaven. And I believe God has to have a remnant that's going to raise up to financially support the end time warfare because they're through and finished with this stinking world. That's who we're banking on. We're depending on folks that say, look, I'm in because I'm out of here. I'm through with this. Let's just get this thing moving to culminate it. Enough is enough. Look at what we look at every day. It's time to do something in a real proactive way to make this thing happen. And it's not us doing things for God. It's us dying before God that he might resurrect himself to do it. So my actions, my whole life is spent fasting, praying, crucifying the old man, getting rid of the barrier, the cholesterol that's blocking God to allow Christ to live. That's what it's all about. Remember Wednesday night Bible study, 7:30, back here again on live stream as we deal with something else. Also, this is the last message in a 4-tape series dealing with the Matrix. That'll be presented here shortly on the internet. The Matrix 4 tapes, we're going to design it so you can deal with it by handing it to other people, tell them to listen to this 4-tape series on the Matrix, and then use it as a ministerial tool to talk to people about the Matrix and what it's made up of and what they believe as opposed to what's true. It's a good way to get into people's minds to make them understand what we're really moving around in and how we're being deceived. So look for the Matrix, which will be a 4-disc presentation coming at you shortly. As soon as we get it printed up and all the artwork in place, it'll be presented on the website. The Matrix should be coming shortly. Appreciate you joining us this week. See you back here next week and Wednesday night. Have a good week.